the work he's put into this, Lord, and we know you have something to say to each of us. Father, we know that there is something, some meaning in this that'll touch our hearts and help us to grow in knowledge of you. Lord, speak to each of us today. Help us to listen carefully, to open our hearts to your word and to understanding it more deeply. Thank you, Lord, for Alex, and we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. If you have your Bibles there, or iPads, or iPhones, or whatever you have today, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 32 to 33, and also there's a scripture, New Testament equivalent, Luke 19, verses 41 to 44. So 1 Chronicles 12, verses 32 to 33, and Luke 19, verses 41 to 44. Yes, I come from yonder Bayswater to come and preach for you here, and it is part of my vocabulary. I had the awesome blessing from my mum's inheritance, late inheritance, to go on long service leave after many, many years. First ever long service leave that I've ever had, 10 weeks off. Someone's got to do it, thank you, Jesus. And we had the occasion to go to Europe for 2 months, well, literally 7 weeks, nearly two months, and had a great time, very different to Perth, Europe, had a really great time. But just beyond all that, all the adventures and all the things that we had there, when we finished, like we're in London and deleting all the apps from my phone that I was so used to, all my schedules, we had 21 train journeys booked and you name it. I mean, I just had this thing down pat. Everything went kind of plan, apart from two occasions, which I can only share with you in private settings. So this very strange sadness came over me as I was coming back to Perth. I didn't expect it. I thought, yeah, just get on the plane, come back. But as I was deleting all the apps and I was removing all this thing that was my life for 2 months, I didn't prepare for re-entry back to Perth or the transition back to Perth. I thought you just get on a plane and come back, but it doesn't just happen like that. As a matter of fact, in the field of sociology, there's an entire field of study called re-entry theory, and it's the whole re-entries from the whole concepts taken from astronauts coming back from space into Perth. They don't just come back; they've got to acclimatize to the Earth's atmosphere. They've got to come back, and it's not just finished our job here, let's come back. There's a whole process that's involved. And part of my wife's thesis, she did a PhD on missionaries, transmigrants as they call them. They start from one culture here, they go to another culture, very different. As I said, Europe is very different to Perth, trust me. And they live in this culture and then they finish their mission after so many years and they come back, and many missionaries find the similar sadness that I've had, this longing, this melancholy, because they weren't prepared to come back to their homeland, because everything's changed. And so sociologists studied this, and missionaries were finding it more difficult to adjust coming home than going out in the field. Very interesting. And this is by way of illustration to show you that we are undergoing phases of transition. You are going through a transition right now. You're going from one stage into another stage. Life constantly changes. And as Bob Dylan rightly said, the times, they are a-changing. They were changing in the 60s. They're changing in 2018 and going into 2019, into a new decade. Because we're always moving from one stage to the next. That narrow passage from the past into the present. So I want to talk about times of transition. I want to talk about the lessons we can learn. And in order to prepare us for what God has for us in the future, because I don't know, this is a very interesting time right now. The transition from 2018 to 2019, as you're making plans, very, very important, because you know, most people suffered great depression during this particular time right here. And they make some bad decisions. And they don't experience all that God has for their lives because they don't understand re-entry. They don't understand this time, this crucial time of transition. So these two texts, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, that will help us unpack this idea this morning. So 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 to 33. I just read this particular section. It's part of a more lengthy section where the writer of Chronicles writes down David's men and particularly focus on these two groups of individuals. These are David's men who are going to inherit the kingdom. Saul's dead. David's going to become the new king. And so this is going to be the new regime. And it's very interesting what they write about these individuals. Verse 32 says, "The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times or the seasons to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and their brethren were all at their command. And verse 33, the sons of Zebulun, who were 50,000 and went out to battle, experts in war, in all weapons of war, stout-hearted or not double-minded men, who could keep ranks." We're going to unpack that in just a moment. And Luke 19, verses 41 to 44, a very similar passage. Time of transition, Old Testament to New Testament, BC to AD. And Luke writes, as he approached Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus, and he saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you. Your enemies will build their embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children with all your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you, or the hour of your visitation." Here's a text talking about people that were willing to inherit because they understood the times. And here is a very tragic text, talks about the prophecy in AD 70, where the Jewish people were basically scattered, the diaspora right throughout the world, and they missed, because they missed the hour of visitation, they did not recognize God's timing for them. All right, let's unpack this. So let's first of all establish that life is always in transition. Life, by its very nature, is always moving from one state to another. There's never going to be a place in your life where you will say, "I have arrived, stop the bus, this is where I'm staying. I have attained a perfect state." It will never happen. Every day, every month, every season, every year, there is change. And you have absolutely no control over it. On the base level, fashions change. Believe it or not, in the 1970s, I used to own a lime green safari suit, short sleeve. I still see it right now. And if this gets out, I know where it came from. I have a unique set of skills, Coleman. All right, I will find you. Fashions change. Funny, you just go through these old photographs. My goodness me, we were looking at these old photographs, and Robin's hair was like an explosion of curls. Like that was the 80s. That's what you did in the 80s. And her hair is very, very different right now. Technology changes. I'm a tech geek. Everything, my whole life revolves around this little device right here. I've got my Bible here. I've got my pictures here. I've got everything. Who would have thought that this little device would contain all these things? But back in the day, you know, computers used to be about this big. Smartphones, iPads. Merrill's and I joke about iPads, you know. When we used to sit next to each other, he'd bring his iPad to school. It's no longer the 50s, no longer the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's funny, you know, listening to these old songs. For me, the golden era of worship songs was the 90s, not 1890s, the 1990s. I'm just sort of caught in that era. Just all, I know all those songs because this one I was saved, and everything else sort of is compared to that particular era because I'm caught in that particular era. And people like to capture that. People like to live in that era. People like to feel the essence of that era. Rob and I, my wife Robin, we went to Trigg Beach just for our regular fish and chips last year. And while we were there, there was this rally of 1950s hot rods. I'm telling you, the whole Trigg Beach was taken up with these magnificent machines. And you look at the people there, they're not young people, these were old people like you. These were grey hairs with all these 1950s music, rockabilly, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, blaring out of the... Because they want... This is the era for them. They were captured by that. This is the golden era, American Graffiti. This was it. And we're not going to go beyond the 50s. Well, unfortunately, you don't look that young anymore. You're black, greased, you know. Vinnie Barbarino hair is no longer there. It's something else has taken place. Time has moved on. When I was in London, I wanted to get these shirts from a little place in London called The Mod Father. The Mod Father was basically a store that wanted to capture the 60s. And in this store, they have paisley shirts. They have things that look like the 60s, little Vespers. And I bought 3 shirts from there because I like the 60s. I want to emulate the 60s. And people will do this. Human history changes. Charles Dickens wrote in the beginning of A Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. Times changing, good times, bad times. But history changes. Your lives change on a constant basis. And when we look at our text, firstly in Chronicles, it was a time of transition. Saul's reign, the previous king, was decreasing. He disobeyed God. And God was removing him out of the picture, and God was raising up David. There was a time of transition. It wasn't just like you slept on the Saturday and Sunday David takes over. There was a long period of time of transition where God was developing this young king, David, dealing with issues of pride, dealing with issues of whatever it takes for a king of Israel. And God was raising up a man of God, and not only just one man, but also other men that he could lead over. There could be a truly golden age in Israel's history. And this was the time of transition. And the Chronicles writer records that this remnant of 300,000 men who were sensitive to the transition period and were ready for what God was going to do next in their kingdom. They're willing to let go and learn from the past mistakes and embrace the future. Our second text, the Luke text, it was one of the greatest transitions in human history. BC to AD, doesn't get any more transitionary than that. Where God himself visited this planet. The whole reason for Christmas is that God invaded this planet. And in this time where people should have been sensitive, the very ones that he came to, the nation which he came to, the very ones that reject him, they did not understand the hour of their visitation. And in verse 44 records, this generation missed out on the hour of their visitation because they were insensitive to the time and the season, and they missed out greatly. Because in AD 70, prophecy records and history records, they lost everything. The Jewish nation was no longer there. The glory of the Jewish nation was no longer there. They were scattered for 2,000 years until they were rebuilt and reformed miraculously in 1948. That's another story. Now, in transition times, what happens is the great testing of our faith. In times of transition, people should look forward and embrace the future in faith. That's what needs to happen. We let go of the past and we embrace the future. But many are not willing to trust in the uncertainty of the future, but they're willing to cling on to the false security of the past. How many have struggles letting go of the past? Don't put your hands up, you'll incriminate yourself. Come on, that's one of the things we constantly deal with, the past. With all its nostalgia, with all that was involved in. That's why people like to hold on to the 1950s rockabilly scene and build with hot rods. That they have this illusion that that was the best era, that was the best music, and we're going to stay there. We're not going to embrace this new hip-hop music and all that kind of... We're not going to do that. We're going to stay right here. And I'm not questioning your musical taste, but I'm talking about the mentality that you're not willing to go forward but stay in the false security of the past. And the result is people miss out on the hour of their visitation. People are stunted in growth and development. And people are in constant fear and anxiety because the future takes them unaware. I wasn't expecting this. Here's some classic examples of this, beginning at the very dawn of time with Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve were God's first creation. These were the ones that were going to inherit the earth. And they had one job to do. Don't eat of that tree. Just one. And yet they chose the false security of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil rather than trusting God at his word. I want to know how this thing works. But God says, just trust me. No, I want to know the ins and outs. I want to know all the different, I want to make all the decisions here. I want to know. Well, you're never going to know because you don't know all the issues. That's what the whole book of Job is about. Job wanted to know. And God says, all right, I'll show you. Job couldn't handle it. If you don't understand a physical universe, if you don't understand how the planets operate, Job, if you don't understand how the stars and moon and all these things, if this is beyond you, and it should be beyond you, just look up at the stars, you look up at the sky, and you think that is infinite, man, it just blows my mind. I do this on a regular basis. I just show this maths video, which talks about how small units go to down to quarks and how big units go to. It's just like a little two-minute video, and it just shows you the distances and the times, and it's like, and my mind is blown every time. I've shown it thousands of times, exaggerating, shown it lots of times, and my mind just is blown at just this little video of how big and how small and microscopic this world is. I don't get it. That's a physical universe, let alone a moral universe. People making decisions, right and wrong and all this. I don't get it. And yet, Adam and Eve chose that, and we've had to deal with it ever since. The children of Israel, time of transition. They're going from slaves from Egypt into a time of transition. God wants to make them into a glorious nation, yet they disobeyed God. They didn't want to face the giants, despite the promise of God, and they lost everything. An entire generation had to be wiped out in the desert for 40 years, wandered around aimlessly in the years until the entire generation was wiped out because they want to stick to the security of what they saw rather than what God promised. In our first text, 300,000 men out of an entire nation chose to go with David because they understood the signs of the times. In our second text, from BC to AD, the birth of Jesus, only a small remnant. Think about it. Out of all the ministry that Jesus had and ministered to in 3 years, 120 were in the upper room ready to usher in the new kingdom. We're talking about something that we all have to deal with because people would rather hold on to the familiar aspects of the present, which becomes the past, rather than let go and embrace the future. The past, with all this perceived security, has a stronghold on every single one of us. Let's have a look at some examples. You know, when we're transitioning from teens to adults, many never want to grow up and embrace responsibility. I've got two daughters. They're almost 30, and late 20s, and it's taken a long time for them to learn the pain of what's known as growing up. Financial decisions. They can't just buy 15 dresses, and you know, they can't just buy things and have no money in the bank. It's like, "Mom, I have no money." Well, you've got to learn some things. You've got to learn how to budget, and you've got to learn how to not spend all your money, and you know, save, and all those different things that are all about going from the irresponsibility of teens and just trusting in parents to deal with things to an adult where you have to make up some of your own decisions. They have to live according to a budget. There's transitions that need to be made from being a single person into a married person. I had to learn that the hard way, because I had to learn my wife wasn't mother 2.0, where she picks up on everything, and you know, it's like you do the washing now and I just have a good time. She let me know very early on in the game, no, it's not going to happen like that. I had to let go of selfishness. I had to let go of certain ideas that I had. I had to embrace sacrifice. I had to embrace all those strange concepts that come with being single and your whole world revolves around you. We had to make that similar transition as a married couple into having children. And right now, we're having to face, my mum was alive, she passed away last year. Now, my wife has to embrace the fact that she's an aging parent who's very demanding. She spent all this time and effort trying to get all these people coming and helping him, and the father doesn't really appreciate that. So he just doesn't turn up when the cleaners come along, and doesn't, because he wants to be independent. And the frustration that's involved with all aging parents and what's involved with all that. Transitions into old age. I'm having to face that right now. Who would have thought that all those years ago, when I was sunning my bod on Scarborough Beach, that I'd be here today facing 60, nearly 60, February the 15th. That was so funny. It just made it very, very clear to me how old I really was when I went to one of my daughter's concerts. She does all this electronic music, and she had a little gig happening in William Street. And it was an experimental scene. It's called Difficult Listing Scene. So she was number two act. And I was just there to support her. So thank you all. I've supported you all these years. I went to all your concerts and I put up with all these things. And now I'm going to support you at this concert here. But the funny thing was, there was about 30 or 40 people there, 20-somethings. And I was like the only 60-year-old there and trying to look really cool and hip, you know. Just supporting my daughter, and everybody thought it was really cute that dad would come along and support daughter, you know. It just suddenly dawned on me, I wasn't like these kids, I'm actually dad now supporting the daughter. Transitions into the old age. There's a motorcycle gang called the God Squad, or the G-O-D Squad, and G-O-D stands for Growing Old Disgracefully. And these people, literally, their whole image on the back is this old person. We're just growing old, just buy a Harley Davidson and just ride off into the sunset. That's how they deal with old age. And mind you, I've seen some people I know embracing, just letting go of the wisdom and all the different things that they grew in. Just get off on a, you know, sports car, divorce the wife of their youth because they want to G-O-D, grow old disgracefully. It's a shame. There's transitions in the kingdom. There's new converts who enter the church. And sometimes we don't really appreciate what actually is happening, the dynamics that happens when a visitor comes into the church. You've been here for 115 years. You know the songs, you know everything. And this person comes in here, they know nothing. They have to learn words like yonder. What does yonder mean? You know, the blood of Jesus and what? The slain blood of the Lamb. It's all these foreign, and we think, well, come on, get on with it. Get on with the program. You know, so there's a transition involved. There's a loss of friendships. There's a loss. They have to make these sacrifices. Sometimes they have to make decisions against their family and all this. It is an absolute miracle that anybody stays in church. Because there's transition, everything is brand new, and that's why there's a high attrition rate, because the past and the familiarity of familiarity, family, is pulling them back. Let me tell you this transition between churches. I've had to make this painful transition. About 10 years ago, we were involved in this ministry for 20 plus years, and time came for us to move. And I had this realization that I wasn't married to the church. I was married to Jesus. But it was a strong pull to go from to, and thank goodness, because God has opened up so many ways for me, just new way of seeing things, new way of doing things, simply because I made that transition between churches and fellowship sometimes. But it's difficult. The book of Hebrews gives us these words of advice about not going back to the old ways. As a matter of fact, that's the subtitle of the book of Hebrews. Don't go back to your old ways. Embrace. There has to be a transition by faith into better things, a better salvation, a better covenant, a better Savior, a better everything, because the trend in the book of Hebrews, these people, this little remnant, want to go back to the familiarity of Judaism because they didn't want to embrace the persecution that involved with being Christians. And Paul is writing to them and he's saying, listen, this transition has to be done by faith into better things. There's a transition from this life into the next life. Well, I'm going to live for 90,000 years. No, you're not. You've got a use-by date. I don't know what it is, but you've got a use-by date. My mum had a use-by date. Robin's dad has a use-by date. We're making jokes about it yesterday at the family. You know, the brothers just totally disrespectful. Yeah, this might be your last one, Jerry. Have a drink. You know, just this might be, yeah, this is because they understand. That's the way they deal with it. Just a bit of humor. There is a transition, and the Bible tells us it's a transition to something that we prepare for this age. And guess what? There's a transition from the church age to the new age. The Bible calls it the millennium. It's been 2,000 years in the process. I don't know if you realize this, but we're at the end of an age. We're living in the last days. And I'm excited. Either way, I'm excited what God has for us in the future. I'm excited what God has for the church in the future. But we need a strategy to survive the transition times, or we're going to default to the false security of the past. We're not going to survive the re-entry or the entry into what God has for us in the future. And so here's some strategy from our text. Number one is that we need, like the sons of Issachar, to gain an understanding of your time. You are living in a unique time in history. I don't know if you're a prophecy buff. I've done prophecy studies for many years, and I am convinced we're living in the last days. I know people have been saying that for a long, 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 long time. They prophesied the end of the world in the 70s. Now it's the, what? I am convinced. Just a cursory look at the Bible will let you realize that we're living in the last days. There's something, this is a transition time, just like the Old Testament. From the book of Malachi to the New Testament, God visited the planet. God visited this planet. He walked around and he talked and he ministered, but only a remnant, a few people, only a few shepherds, a few wise men were there at his birth. God visited this planet. His second coming is coming. And we're living in this transition time. The end of the age, not the end of the world, the end of an age where something new is going to happen. And we've, like the sons of Issachar, these men who had understanding of the times, we're going to be better prepared for what God has for us in the future. You know, I was talking about me turning 60 in February. It's a unique season in my life. I can't do the things of a teenager anymore. I know my mind says things, yeah, do this, like in Europe, we're going to walk for you know, 9 hours every day, we're going to do all these things, but after, you know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, let's have a break, lovey, let's have a cup of tea, stay there for a couple of hours, and instead of walking for now, why don't we just take the bus, and let's spend a bit of extra money, and just take the bus, and that's what we did, we just spend hours on the London buses, just the bus was just taking us around, oh, this is lovely, dear. But back in the day, we would have just had a backpack on our backs and just walk for miles, not even worrying about our physical condition. Instead of being discouraged about all this, I just adopted a brand new strategy. You know, turning in my 60s, you know, a few more years, retirement, whatever that means. You know, I've applied for promotion jobs and didn't get them. I kind of expected it. Because I'm nearly 60, you know, they're not going to employ someone for two years and see you later. You know, I've learned not to be discouraged when younger people get the job. Because I understand the time of my, you know, this is my season, this is what I'm doing right now. So I need to make the best of this season, not looking back, not trying to be this young person, cool, you know, I'm going to be really, I'm nearly 60. And you know what? I'm happy being 60. I'm happy having wisdom. I'm happy being the person that I am. I'm fully aware of my season. And I've learned this important Bible word. It's called contentment. I have learned to be content because I'm aware of where God has me in my season right now. And that stops all the frustration. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances, whatever season, whatever state I'm in, even in a state of transition. Furthermore, in verse 33, the sons of Zebulun, Bible says, kept rank. Powerful imagery here. Because the greatest temptation in transition time is to flee. Flee to the past, not to the future, but somewhere else apart from where God has his work done in you. To change, to run away, and usually it is always to familiarity, things that we know. To keep rank means to stay in position regardless of what is happening. When we were in Prague, we went and visited the Prague Castle. Fantastic. Castle right in the middle of the city, and one of the things that we noticed in Prague, it's like a post-communist nation, there's armed guards everywhere. It's like machine guns. It's like it's not like a action thriller film. This is reality. These guards have machine guns. And I noticed as we were going in the castle, they have these armed guards posted at the front with machine guns, absolutely dead straight. And there was this silly woman who was trying to make one of the guards flinch to the amusement of all her friends, like getting really close to him, and the guy's just absolutely standing there, you know. And, you know, if it was me, I would have just... It's like, you stupid woman, what are you doing? But that, for me, that was a great picture of staying resolute. He wasn't going to break rank, whatever this woman was willing to do. You know, many between BC and AD who followed Jesus broke rank and missed out on the hour of their visitation. I'd like to say here that after being saved and being a Christian for almost, you know, 30 plus years, that all the people that I got saved with, are with me right now. We're entering into the kingdom. I can name names. I can give you a whole list of people who broke rank, who don't believe in Jesus anymore. Many of those were pastors, fellow ministers. Can I encourage you to keep rank? Stay put, keep the faith, because Jesus is returning for his church. Verse 33, the Bible says these men were also expert in war. They were willing to fight. Now, when we're talking about fight, I'm not talking about flesh and blood, but I'm talking about understanding a spiritual nature of life. There is principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, that we need to expend energy into this transition. Much of that energy, thank goodness that you read that report of these people who are willing to pray, and they can change things through prayer. Prayer works, folks. Willing to fight in prayer. And you know what? The times in our trip, just a little small, you know, in our little trip in Europe, there were times where I just didn't know, and what we did was just prayed. And I can safely say there was angelic visitations. Like, for example, when we were in Vienna, we carted our suit with a 5-hour train journey, carted our suitcases through. We're in Vienna, we're not in Perth, we don't know, it's not Beaufort Street. It's Vienna. It's like different language. And I've got this Google Maps thing happening, carting away there, trying to avoid the traffic. We arrive at the Airbnb that I've booked, and I'm trying to press the code to go in there, and I'm this fear and this anxiety comes upon me because I'm reading the instructions for Salzburg, which is the next one, not Vienna. I did not make contact with Vienna. What are we going to do? My wife looks at me, her eyes are, and this voice comes from the intercom. Hello, is that you, Alex? Yes, it's me. It was the cleaner. They were expecting us. I don't know how it happened, but God, lots of things like that, because we just prayed. God got to help. We're in a foreign land. What are we going to do here? Willing to fight in prayer. The next stage, can I encourage you, if you're in a time of transition right now, if you're making some decisions, don't just make those decisions based on a whim or feelings. Pray and ask for God's confidence and ask for God's amen, whatever you do, and you'll be fine. Not a double heart. Stout-hearted men, verse 33 again. Trust in God's promises despite what you see and feel. As we bring this to a close, can we remind ourselves, and it's very easy to forget, that we are living in a time of transition. You are currently in whatever state of life you're in, young, middle-aged, old. We're living in the last days. We are in a time of transition where God is going to do something new. This time of transition between 2018 and 2019 is taking you into a brand new year. What has God in store for you? You know, I'd like to say that, you know, I feel it, and you know, and I can see vision, but many times it's just simply trusting God at his word. That's what your Bible says. I'm believing that you have the best for me. And so as you are praying and preparing for a brand new year, the next stage of your life, young person going on to the next year of school, older person entering into retirement, transitioning, whatever stage of transitioning that you're in, can I encourage you to understand that you're in a special, unique time? Do you have an understanding of the season? Can I encourage you to keep rank, to stay put? When you see something that's a little bit off, don't go back to the familiarity. Press in, fight through prayer and say, God, I know what you have promised. I know that this is from you. And you will usher in what God has for your life. Do you believe that? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in the presence of Jesus and all looking around. times of transition. You can't avoid it. It's beyond your control. You cannot say, stop. I've had enough. It's just progress. Things happen. Life unfolds before you. All you can do is be prepared. All you can do is embrace it or get swept up or miss out, God forbid. For many of you here in the church, you've been faithful, saying, what's God got for us as a church? What's the next thing? Can I tell you, God has the best in store for you if you're willing to embrace it. If you're willing to let go sometimes, you know, the hardest obstacles for God doing something new in the church, because people will not let go of the past, whatever that is, whatever that past, whatever package that past comes in. Past hurts, past issues, you've got to let that go. Before Joshua could inherit the promised land, the book of Joshua, one of the first words, now Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, that whole era associated with all the miracles, the signs, the wonders, with a great figure like Moses is past. Now this young guy called Joshua is taking over. He's got a different style. He's got a different way of operating. We've got to go there because that's what God's doing. God's working through Joshua now. Whatever state you're in, how many here are in a state of transition and God spoke to you through this message to, first of all, understand, give you a clear understanding of where you're at? He's encouraging you to keep rank, to stay put. Stay put, in other words, resolve in your faith and then fight through prayer and enter into what God has for you next. How many resonate with that? You lift up your hand, say it's me. That's God, you're speaking to me. This is what you're saying. God, I hear it. I want to embrace it. I do not want to be like those who missed out on the hour of that visitation. I want to embrace the new. Why don't you spend a couple of minutes just praying? Maybe Rob, you can come play softly at the piano. Just pray and ask God to help you. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for your goodness and mercy this morning. Father, we thank you that you're a God of the new. Every day, every morning, your mercies are fresh, God. Every day, there's a new day. And even today, Lord, as we come to church wanting to hear a word from you, you're speaking strategy, you're speaking wisdom to our lives. Father, I pray right now for everyone that's making decisions, for young people making decisions, embracing responsibility. Older people who are discouraged and feel that they've missed out, I just pray that you would give them a sense of dignity right now, of who they are in you. Even like Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the moment stumbled, but had an awareness of who this baby was. And Anna, the prophetess, that you promised them they would not die until they saw what they saw. God, give us similar resolution, similar resolve in our hearts to keep rank, even though when we see around us nothing much is happening. As a matter of fact, it just seems to be getting worse. But God, give us resolve that we are living in the last days. You are returning. Give us confidence that when we die, we're actually in a better state. This life is a transition. This life is not what it's meant to be. It's an illusion. God, this life is a preparation for the glorious eternity that we have in you, Lord. Let us keep that in focus. Let us keep that in perspective this Christmas season, in the new year, next year, in the new decade, until you return, Lord. We know not the day or the hour, but we know that you're coming. We know that you're coming for your people. You have not said it without fulfilling that promise. And God, we're looking forward to the golden age where Old Testament prophets, New Testament church people look for the golden age where you will rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. And the church will be with you by your side, ruling and reigning with you, just like David's men. Let us be part of that remnant. Let us be part of that people that keep faith, that keep rank. Let us be encouraged in that this morning, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we sing a song?
We are. We're going to sing Come to My Heart, Lord Jesus.
Come to My Heart. I just want to minister a bit more. 2 seconds. I just haven't finished. Just sing a song, a couple of little things. Why don't we stand to our feet?
Thou come to earth, and in deepest humility, or come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Though the fox found rest, and the bird its nest, in the shade of the cedar tree, yet the world found no bed for the Savior's head in the desert of Galilee. Or come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Though thou camest, Lord, with the living word, that should set all thy people free. Yet with treachery, scorn, and a crown of thorn, did they bear thee to Calvary. Or come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
Hallelujah.
When the heaven shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, heaven has room, there is room at my side for thee. Or come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
Just before I finish, I was ministering in another church, and as we're closing the service, just this random scripture comes to me of Isaiah 45 verse 3, and I felt I needed to give it to this particular lady as she was going off on a trip herself in the church and her husband. And as I'm reading this text and I'm saying, this is what God wants to say to you, she's weeping in tears. Like, all I had was this particular text. I read it to her, and this was a time of transition for her, and later she said, she texted me and she said, you're not going to believe this, but this was what my text I've been living on. I highlighted this, and this is what you said to me, and it's like God speaking to me. So in a similar fashion, I was just sitting over here, and I just want to give you guys a word, and it's actually two verses above that text. And I'm going to read it for you. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, it's Isaiah 40, verse 45, verse 1. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and to loose the armor of kings, to open before you the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut from the bars of iron. The emphasis there is double doors. Many times you feel like you're going to squeeze in, but it's not. God says double doors. It's an open path. And also, he says, I go before you. I will make the crooked places straight. I don't know what that means, but it means something to you. It's just unpacking things right now. And it's funny, as I was sitting there, I forgot about it. And just the same thing just came to me. Oh, that's the, it's too, what? I'm finished.